This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles, hosted by MC8 and Big Steel. It's every Thursday,
y'all already know.
A podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangster rap.
Let's go.
Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Inside the Studio, presented by iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Joe Levy. Okay, so if you have talked to as many musicians as I have, you have heard a lot of stories about life on the road. And some of them are hilarious, and some of them are sad, and some of them are something else, because I've talked with musicians who simply cannot adjust to staying in one place at a time after so many nights in vans, buses, airplanes. I mean, I've talked to guys who have trouble sleeping in a bed that's not moving. And I thought of that when the guest on this episode of the home edition of the show, Chase Rice, opened up about having some difficulty tapping into his creativity because these last few months of quarantine are the longest he's ever been off the road since he started putting out music 10 years ago. I mean, as he puts it, when he's on, and when he's off, and I guess lately he feels like he's off. He's been on vacation, sort of. I mean, he's even checking in with us from Wrightsville Beach in North Carolina, so things are not all bad. You know, we started the home edition of Inside the Studio to let you know how the pandemic has impacted the lives of artists and how it's affecting the way they make music. Chase Rice has released two EPs already this year, and he tells our quarantine correspondent, Jordan Runtog, that there may be a stadium-sized guest collaboration on the third, which he's working on now. If you enjoy this episode, be sure to listen to the iHeartRadio podcast that Jordan hosts. It's called Rivals, Music's Greatest Feuds, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jordan Runtog, but enough about me. My guest today has worn many hats over the years. He was a college football linebacker, a member of the NASCAR pit crew, and a contestant on the reality show Survivor Nicaragua. But you know him as a country powerhouse who first climbed the charts in 2013 with Ready, Set, Roll. Since then, he scored hits like Eyes on You and also penned the Florida Georgia Line smash Cruise. In January, he surprised fans by releasing the album Part One, the first in a series of EPs featuring what he says is some of the most meaningful music he's ever made. I'm so happy to welcome Chase Rice. Chase, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, no, thank you, man. I'm literally at the beach and I'm just chilling, so.
Oh, nice. Wait, what beach?
Wrightsville Beach in North Carolina.
Oh, nice. Oh, I used to go to the Outer Banks as a kid every year.
Yeah, it's just south of there. So,
this day in quarantine finds you very well, I should say.
Yeah, this is one of the good ones for sure.
Oh, man, that's good to hear. How have you been feeling? I mean, are you feeling particularly creative during lockdown or not so much?
No, I haven't been. I'm the type of think that, like, when I'm on, I'm go, go, go. And when I'm off, I'm off. And I've always been good about that because I'm on 10 months a year. So those 2 months off are pretty easy. It's like, okay, well, I don't have that long, so I'll take off. But this has been weird. Obviously, this is the longest time I've ever not toured. So I've shut my mind off from that. It's been very hard for me, especially live shows are what I really thrive off of. And that's the energy that I love. So not being able to do those, it's been hard.
Well, I know in January you put out the album Part One, which I think you've described it as like the beginning of your career, as I think the quote you had for it. Why is that? Was it feeling like you were getting back to basics in a way? Or
I mean, I've only played guitar. I didn't even learn how to play guitar until I was like 22 years old or 20,
really?
20, somewhere around there. So I think you just do something long enough, no matter what it is, and you get better at it as you go. And I think tip of the iceberg for me was for sure Eyes on You. I just really, really found what I really wanted to do, I think, with that song. And so that gliding right into the album Part One, I think that's why I say it's the beginning of my career, because it's really what I've found what I want to do.
I mean, you've worn so many hats in the past. You've football linebacker, NASCAR pitman, been on Survivor. Did you know from an early age that music was what you wanted to do with your life, or was it something that kind of revealed itself to you later?
No, it definitely revealed itself later. We, like I said, I didn't know how to play guitar till I was 20, 21 years old, somewhere around there. So once I learned that, it was more just, I just love playing guitar. I love learning these songs from the guys that I grew up listening to. And I remember one of my college roommates was like, he said, man, you should be a country singer. And he was sitting there playing and I'd sing along in the dorm room and stuff. And that was as foreign as him saying, you should be an astronaut. Like, that's how far it was. I was playing football. I was focused on that. And so when he said that, it's funny now that after seeing obviously what's going on with my life and doing this for real, it's crazy that not that long ago, it was such a foreign concept to me.
And they're touring with Willie Nelson, Garth Brooks.
I know. It's crazy.
Say, what would Baby Chase think of that? It's incredible.
Yeah. I would definitely look back. If you'd have told me that way back then, I'd be like, wait, what? So a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun to get to this point. Now it's obviously this year's kind of a weird one for everybody, but it's still heading in a great direction, and I'm excited to the day where we can finally actually play the album Part One live. And two.
Got the album Part One. Part Two came in May. What was the strategy behind sort of dividing the album up like that?
It's just the way people listen to music these days. It's become a singles world, and I don't like that very much because I think it just focuses too. That's just not how I grew up listening to music. So I tried to find a little bit of a middle ground of, I don't want to just put out singles. I don't want to just do that. I want to still tell a story. Albums to me are still very important, but I want each song to have its time in the limelight. I want each song to have its time to be heard. And if you put 15, 16 songs on a record anymore, people tend to just kind of go through and pick a couple of their favorites and move on. But if you give them less to listen to, but giving more music, you know, less music more often, I'm finding that gives people the chance to really dive into 7 songs or dive into 4 songs or 3 songs and learn those. And then they can move on to more music.
What can we look forward to on Part Three?
I haven't fully put it together yet, to be honest, but I think I've never really done a huge, huge collab. I did Ride with Macy Malloy, and she's amazing. But for me to do a song with any artist that just is up in the stadium's level of music and a huge arena level of music, which I'm not there yet. I'm still clawing and fighting to get there. I think that could be something pretty special. So I'm working on a possible song with FGL. I think it's a cool story with those guys because we were roommates when I first moved to town, and I don't know if a lot of people know that. We literally just lived in a house. We were as broke as you can pretty much get, and we were just writing songs together. We ended up writing Cruise, and that changed my life. It changed their life, and we haven't put out anything mainstream ever together. So I think if we could figure out a way to find a song, we got a couple in mind. We're going to go in the studio and just kind of see what happens. But I think that'll be the highlight of the album Part Three, and possibly pushing whatever song we end up figuring out to being the next single.
Oh, that is incredible. I also heard you're working with Shay from Dan and Shay too. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, I love Shay. I've known Shay years. We have a song called Secrets that we've just never finished. We started it one night at literally after bar. We just went up to his apartment, which is also a studio, started this song. And then like 2.5 years later, got back together, started to finish it, still didn't finish it. And now we, every time we see each other, we're like, hey man, when are we going to finish Secrets? So I don't know what day that will happen, but we'll finish it at some point because it is a great song.
Sounds like a good quarantine project.
Yeah, that's the thing is you think right now we have all the time in the world to be creative and do music. But for me, my mind just isn't there. So
it's not feeling it.
I think it's got to come to you. Yeah, I can't for me, it does. I can't force it. If I force it, trust me, you ain't going to like what you hear.
I know you're a very active journalist, diarist, something like that. Do you ever draw your song inspirations from what you write in your journal?
Not really. I don't think that it's directly correlates to a song. Like I don't write something and be like, oh, that's a good song title. But I do think it's been why I can write songs. I think it's allowed me to just be able to dive into that part of your brain. When you're journaling, my only rule is just to write. I have no rules, just write, fill a page, and whatever comes out. And usually it's about the day before that day, whether I do it in the morning or night. But I think that allows me to go to that part of my brain that is kind of similar or at least close to writing songs and getting creative in that way. So it's definitely helped me along the way, I would say.
Do you start with a lyric or a title, or do you have a tune in your head and then put lyrics to sort of fit whatever that tune is?
They kind of hit at the same time sometimes, but I like having titles and ideas. And when I say that, like to me, the melody is going to come. We're going to figure that part out. But as long as I have a title and where I kind of want it to go, like Eyes on You, for instance, I'll tell you about how we wrote that one. It's Ashley Gourley was in there playing the piano. And I was just, I walked in and I was like, man, that sounds amazing. But I don't know. I mean, obviously, what is it about? It's just a piano melody. So I'm looking through my phone. It's where I keep my notes. And I had a song called Eyes on You, travel the whole world, but miss it all because your eyes are on her. And I just thought about that. And I was like, that's enough for me. If I have that and I have the title, at least have the idea of what that means. Then you can put it to a melody. And that's what we did that particular day. And obviously the rest for that one is history. So it's some days it works like that. Some days it doesn't work at all. So songwriting could be the toughest thing you've ever done. And then some days a song like Eyes on You comes.
It's like going fishing. Some days you catch nothing, and then some days you get a big one.
Some days you catch them all. So yeah, some days you write a bunch of little, or you catch a bunch of little ones. And some days that big one hits, and it's those are the fun ones. I love fishing. So you're talking my language.
I saw a video tour you were giving of your house recently. Beautiful house, something I had never seen before. You have an indoor crossbow range.
Yeah, that's compound bow is what I shoot.
Compound bow.
I could shoot a cross. I have a different target for that, but it's mainly just I have my bow set up right there. When I don't feel like walking when I'm lazy enough to not want to walk the 100 yards out to the outdoor range, or if it's too hot or something like that, I'll just pick it up real quick, watching TV, take a couple shots. And it's a good practice for me. I'm a big hunter. And for me, it means a lot. I mean, you're going out there, you're putting an animal in danger like that. You better be good. You better practice what you're doing, because my goal is to go out there and get it done as quick as possible so that they feel the least amount of pain they can. And then I have a freezer full of food for at least a year. So that's, I take it very seriously. And that compound bow in my kitchen helps a lot.
I was going to say, what is your favorite distraction these days when, you know, we all need that. We need to go exercise, binge watch Tiger King or something. Like, is that hunting for you? What's your favorite distraction these days?
Well, that's usually the time of the year for me, which is the fall. So I haven't been able to do that a lot. I've been starting to get back into fishing a good bit. But I like going out west to fish. And I'm a big fly fish. That's about all I do.
Yeah.
I might start going back out there now that everything's kind of opening up a little bit, at least to travel. Go out there, start doing a little bit of fishing. I'm at the beach this week and just kind of relaxing, getting away from everything. And a lot of drinking. I have me and my buddies. We've had a quarantine crew with a couple of families and a couple of friends, and we have drank enough enough to fill this ocean over here, I believe, in the last 3 months. And I think a lot of people are doing that. It went from like Friday, Saturday to, all right, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. All right, Monday, why not? So we've got to tone it back a little bit, but we've had fun.
Has there been sort of a silver lining of all this for you? Is it like taught you something about yourself? You picked up a new hobby?
Well, I remember telling John, my tour manager, so we took February and March off beginning of the year just so we could gear up for the rest of the year. And I said to him, like probably 3 weeks before we were about to go back out in April, I said, man, I'm not really ready to go back yet. I just kind of, that was a short break and we just kept traveling through the break. We pick up an acoustic show here, any type of show, just to go play, you know, whatever it was. And I didn't get my break in. And I remember, and I talked to God a lot, whether he hears me or not, I'm not real sure. But I was just like, man, God, I'm not really ready to go back here just yet. And he answered me in possibly the biggest way he's ever answered anybody. He said, all right, cool, take the rest of the year off. And I didn't quite mean that, but here we are. It's definitely allowed me to fall in love with wanting to get on the road again and wanting to tour and wanting to be, you get tired. I mean, you get real tired on the road, especially when you tour for basically seven straight years like we have. So this has allowed me to realize I'll probably never complain about tour again in my life. I'll be like, oh, thank God, let us go.
It's definitely a big, be careful what you wish for moment, I guess. You're right.
For sure. Yeah. I'm still living in this wish right now.
When the Taliban banned music in Afghanistan, millions were plunged into silence. Radios were smashed, cassettes burned. You could be beaten or jailed or killed for breaking the rules. And yet, Afghans did it anyway. This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles, a podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangsta rap. Hosted by MC 8 and Big Steels every Thursday, each episode provides an in-depth exploration into the formative artists, monumental albums, and socio-political factors that have shaped gangsta rap from its emergence in the 80s to its enduring impact today. Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form. We dive into the socio-cultural aspects that gangsta rap boldly addressed, from police brutality to systemic racism, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the profound cultural significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's go.
I I loved your song Belong. I just thought it was such a sort of a hopeful, optimistic message in these, you know, really stressful, tumultuous, divided times. What does that song mean to you? Where did that come from?
Yeah, it's it means a lot. It means a whole lot, especially right now. And I think it's getting even more important. The more stressed out people are getting, the more I'm not real sure. There's just so many different issues going on right now, and so many different opinions on so many different things. So the part that I don't love about some things going on right now is just is a lot of negativity, whether that's people not wanting to hear other people's opinions. And I just think that people need to slow down and actually have conversations about these things, because the battles on social media and stuff, it's dangerous. It allows you to kind of hide behind a screen. And if people will just have conversations and actually talk about it, I think they'll realize that it's not as crazy as some people are making it out to be. So that's why I just wanted to put that message out there. It's like, y'all, let's take a second. We're right where we belong. We're not changing what's going on right now. This is the world we live in, whether it's quarantine, whether it's social injustice matters. So let's have a conversation about it and enjoy where we are. And I think that will actually spring forward a lot more change for the future. And conversations need to happen. And I think that's what Belong is about for me, especially. We're right where we belong. Let's talk about it. Let's live in it and hopefully learn from it, move forward in a positive way.
Great song, great message. What have you been listening to during quarantine? Because I don't know about you, but I've been sort of falling back on the old familiar. Like, I've been listening to stuff I haven't listened to since high school, just because I want to feel that sort of connection and just familiarity. How about you?
Yeah, it's I started laughing because I was like, oh my God. So I've been hanging out. There's been two buddies that have become, and that you talked about silver lining. These two guys, I didn't really know them that well before quarantine, and one's Ryan Johansson from the Nashville Predators, and one's James Neal from the Edmonton Oilers, who used to play for the Preds. And they're hockey guys. These are hockey guys straight out of Canada. And my God, like, now we've just become really good buddies. But I'll say this, I've never heard more Nickelback in my entire life than hanging out with these two guys, man. It's I mean, we have a playlist that the day will be going. As soon as Rockstar or Photograph comes on, it's like, our eyes are going to meet at some point around the house or some point around the pool, wherever we're all hanging. It's like, oh God, here we go again. We're actually doing this again today. Okay. Nickelback's on. Let's go.
No, exactly. Yeah. That's like the kind of stuff they'll be playing. It's just like, I want something I know that just makes me, just takes me away from where I am now, I guess. Maybe. I'm not sure why I do it.
Yeah, I know. I love reminiscent songs. I think one of the best to ever do songs like that is Kenny Chesney. I think he's got a lot of songs like that. I'm at the beach right now. Anything But Mine is one of my favorite songs of all time. So I love songs that do take me back, and I will forever after this, I'll be able to hear Nickelback, and it'll take me back to this quarantine, I promise.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I guess I didn't think about that being, but I'm putting new memories on these old songs now.
Exactly. Now you're going to think about quarantine.
Oh, man. I got to choose my songs more carefully now.
It's Nickelback for me.
I got to ask you, I'm a huge Willie Nelson fan. I know you've been on the road with him. What was that like? My God.
That's a dream for me, because I have a lot of memories. My grandpa and grandma would come visit me and my brothers once a year, and they'd take us on the road in their motorhome. And that's part why I think I got it. I love being on the road so much, because I grew up like really wanting to enjoy and really looking forward to hanging out with my grandparents for 2 weeks in the summer in a motorhome. You know, kind of a tour bus type style, and traveling the country. And the song he'd always play when he rolled in on this ultimate horn, this little push button thing that they have, was On the Road Again by Willie Nelson. And every time he'd come in, he'd be playing that. And every time he'd leave, they'd be playing that. So that always took me back to hanging out on summers, kind of my training for being on tour for the rest of my life. And then the very first guy that I go on tour with, it was a 2 week long thing, 8-9 years ago now, was with Willie Nelson. So it was unbelievable. It was really cool to hear him sing that, obviously, because that one took me back. And he's a legend. I mean, he wrote Crazy. Like that's one of the greatest songs of all time. And
funny how time slips away.
I know, man. It's it was unbelievable, really cool experience, and really cool that I got to get to say that I did that, you know?
Yeah. Did he let you play trigger, the guitar?
I got to touch trigger one time. I didn't play trigger. I'm sure he would have. I don't know. Yeah. But I didn't ask. But I did get. I put my hands on trigger, and I was just like, "This is history right here."
Oh man, that's so cool. So, I got a funny question for you. You've done so much prior to music. I've never been able to ask anyone this, but you're in a unique position to answer. In what ways is the music industry like being on Survivor?
Everybody's coming for you. It's
so you can plead the fifth if you want.
No, it's a good question. I do think there is an aspect of competition in music, and I think you'd be crazy not to say that that's not true. Yeah, everybody talks about Nashville, how it's a community. Everybody talks about how it's like one big family. But at the end of the day, we're all still trying to get our songs played. So the less songs that this over here is getting played, the more chance I have of getting eyes on you, or only if you are on the radio. So I think that's this survival aspect of it. Plus, Survivor's 40 days and 40 nights, which is a lot. When you're starving and all, that's a whole long time. I had 6 meals in 40 days.
Wow.
And that's the biggest difference, though. That's 40 days, 40 nights. Nashville and the music industry, you know, Garth Brooks and George Strait are still playing all these years later. So if you can turn 40 days into 40 years and actually have a long career in the music industry, I think that's the way to play it. And that's what my goal has always been, is to not try to be the overnight sensation, to not try to have that overnight hit, try to write the biggest, best songs you can possibly write for myself, but to have great relationships with people, treat people well. And I didn't get that early on in my career. I didn't understand.
Really?
I was trying to be the overnight sensation for sure. And that takes your focus on what really matters, which is great music and treating people well. And I think that if you have that mindset in the music industry, you're going to do really well, and you're going to move forward and be around in 40 years, hopefully.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been up close to these legends, you know, the Garths and the Willie. Is there a common thread you see between those folks that have been doing it for decades that you notice that maybe people who don't have that kind of staying power don't have? Is there something they're doing differently?
I think first of all, it starts with the music. If the music's not there, you're not going to hang around. And that's, for me, my biggest focus is the music. The music has to be right. Music has to be believable from the person who's singing it. And that's where I really focus hard on. If your music's great, but then one thing I really noticed when I played with Garth in February, that was actually one of my last full band shows before the quarantine happened. And it, just the way he treated me, the way he took the time. I walked up, I was on stage and I was sound checking. And he comes out to me, and we talk for probably 15 minutes about, the funny part is, it wasn't about music. There was nothing that we talked about that was about music. It was about life. It was about God. It was about friends, family. And I even asked him, I said, man, it just feels like sometimes people are trying to pull at you 75 different ways. And he said, man, first of all, how's your relationship with God? And for me, that's very personal, because that puts me and Garth in at least the same headspace. And that was a special moment for me. And he also, the biggest thing I'd say he said was, you get to do music for a living. You don't have to wake up. You don't have to go to work. You don't have to go to the bank, whatever it is. And I say the bank because both my brothers, or one of them now works at a bank, and him and I talk all the time. He's like, man, you don't want my job. Trust me. As great as it can be some days, it's not all the time. And I get to wake up and do music, and I get to wake up and sing songs and make people happy, or try to make people happy. So, and that was his point to it all. So the way he treated me was, I think, a huge, huge reason why Garth Brooks is still one of the best at country music and music in general has ever seen, on top of the fact that he's got great music too.
When the Taliban banned music in Afghanistan, millions were plunged into silence. Radios were smashed, cassettes burned. You could be beaten or jailed or killed for breaking the rules. And yet, Afghans did it anyway. This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The danger they endured.
they said my head should be cut off.
The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles. Podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangsta rap. Hosted by MC8 and Big Steels every Thursday, each episode provides an in-depth exploration into the formative artists, monumental albums, and socio-political factors that have shaped gangsta rap from its emergence in the 80s to its enduring impact today. Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form. We dive into the socio-cultural aspects that gangsta rap boldly addressed, from police brutality to systemic racism, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the profound cultural significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's go.
This whole time has been so tough on all of us, but, you know, also especially for musicians, because you can't get out there and do what you love. What's been keeping you feeling grounded and hopeful?
Just knowing that this will go away. This 100% will go away. We will be back to normal at some point. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if that's a year from now, 6 months, 2 years. And honestly, social media has been huge for me. Just kind of simple as that, to be able to stay in touch with people. Because as a musician, no matter what anybody says, I mean, the fans are why we do what we do. We literally aren't showing up playing to nobody. If we were, what's the point? It's like sports. You can still at least compete. Music, it's not that way. When I show up to do a show, the fans singing back and the fans listening and us being there for each other is why it happens. So being able to still have a connection with them via social media, which isn't ideal at all, but still having that, knowing that it's going to go away at some point, we will be back to gathering. I saw actually Eric Church, I saw one of his random Instagram posts, and he was talking about people gathering to worship, people gathering to drink, people gathering to whatever, to sing songs. It's always been a thing, and it will get back to that. And I think he if you want to go check it out, he worded it really, really well.
Oh, I will. I mean, it's a primal thing. It's what humans do. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I used to even think when I first moved to Nashville, it was like, oh, I thought it was okay to be a loner and kind of be in my space all the time. And that gets lonely real, real fast. So you realize we're meant to gather. We're all meant to be together and gather and be in a community, and country music community along with the fans is one of the best ones I've ever seen or been a part of. So I'm looking forward to the day where we can get back to that for sure.
My last question, I've had a lot of fun. It's been interesting asking people this. If you could snap your fingers and have everything return to normal instantly, no virus, no lockdown, what would be the very first thing you do?
Go into a stadium full of people and feel normal again. I mean, the last thing that I did before it all was play at Ford Field in Detroit and sing to 70,000 people with Garth Brooks. So I would do that again. If that's what I love to do, that's why I got into music, and I'm not real sure why I got into it, I guess, but that's what made me really fall in love with music, was seeing live shows. And I loved it as a fan before I ever did it as an artist. So even if I wasn't the artist on stage, I just want to be around a concert again, and be around that many people with that much energy. I'd do that in a second. If it wasn't that, it'd also be put me in an SEC football field somewhere, and let me hear the crowd of that.
Yeah.
Anything like that, it makes me happy. Football stadiums.
Once a linebacker, always a linebacker.
Yep. So I know I didn't get to play in the NFL, certain circumstances, but hey, like I said, the last show I did was in Detroit and Ford Field. So now I'm playing in NFL stadiums, and it feels good. I'm ready to get back to it.
You got those stadiums one way or another.
Yep. Either way, let's do it.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside the Studio Home Edition, a production of iHeartRadio. For more episodes of Inside the Studio and other shows from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles, hosted by MC8 and Big Steel. Every Thursday,
I already know.
Podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangsta rap.
Let's go.
Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.